ବିଶ୍ୱଙ୍କ ସରସଜ୍ଜା ନିକଟକୁ ଘେନିଗଲେ। ଭୀଷ୍ମ ସମସ୍ତଙ୍କ ସମ୍ମୁଖରେ ପାଣ୍ଡବମାନଙ୍କୁ ମହାକାଳ ତଥା ଶ୍ରୀକୃଷ୍ଣଙ୍କ ମହିମା ସମ୍ପର୍କରେ ସୂଚନା ଦେଇ କହିଛନ୍ତି,
ସେ ବଡ଼ କଷ୍ଟ ମୋର ଚିତ୍ତେ ପାଞ୍ଚ ଭାଇ କୁନ୍ତି ସୁତେ ବନେ ବଞ୍ଚିଲେ କଷ୍ଟ କର୍ମେ ଜୀବନ ପୋଷି ବିପ୍ର ଧର୍ମେ ଯେଣୁ ଗୋବିନ୍ଦେ ଆସିଥିଲେ ଅନେକ ସଙ୍କଟୁ ତରିଲେ ସ୍ୱାମୀ ମରଣେ କୁନ୍ତି ସାଧୁ ସ୍ୱଭାବେ ବାଳ କୁଳ ବଧୁ ପୁତ୍ରଙ୍କ ଥୁଲେ ବହୁ କ୍ଲେଶେ ଦୁଃଖେ ବଞ୍ଚିଲେ ବନବାସେ କାଳର ବସ ଏ ଜଗତ ପ୍ରାଣୀ ଏ କାଳର ଆୟତ ସେ କାଳ ବସେ ସର୍ବେ ଚଳି ପବନେ ଜେନେ ଘନାବଳି ଯେ କୁଳେ ରାଜା ଧର୍ମ ସୁତ ରକ୍ଷକ ଭୀମ ଗଦା ହସ୍ତ ଅର୍ଜୁନ ଜହି ଧନୁ ଧରେ ଜହି ଗୋବିନ୍ଦ ରକ୍ଷା କରେ ସେ କୁଳେ ପଳଇ ବିପତ୍ତି ହେମନ୍ତ ବିଧାତାର ଗତି।
ଶ୍ରୀକୃଷ୍ଣଙ୍କ କୃପା କଣିକା ଲାଭ କରି ଭୀଷ୍ମ ପରମଗତି ଲାଭ କଲେ। ପାଣ୍ଡବମାନେ ଭୀଷ୍ମଙ୍କ ସମେତ ଜ୍ଞାତି କୁଟୁମ୍ବଙ୍କ କ୍ରିୟାକର୍ମ ଶେଷ କରିବା ପରେ ଶ୍ରୀକୃଷ୍ଣ ଉତ୍ତରାର ଗର୍ଭରକ୍ଷା କରି ଅର୍ଜୁନଙ୍କ ସହିତ ଦ୍ୱାରକାପୁରୀକୁ ବିଜେ କଲେ। ଏହା ମଧ୍ୟରେ ସାତ ମାସ ବିତିଗଲା। ଶ୍ରୀକୃଷ୍ଣ ଇହଧାମ ତ୍ୟାଗ କରିବା ମାତ୍ରେ ପୃଥିବୀରେ ନାନା ଉତ୍ପାତ ଦେଖାଗଲା। ମହାରାଜ ଯୁଧିଷ୍ଠିର ଦ୍ୱାରକାପୁରୀର ଅବସ୍ଥା ସମ୍ବନ୍ଧରେ କିଛି ନ ଜାଣି ଆକସ୍ମିକ ଅଘଟଣରେ ବିବ୍ରତ ହୋଇ ଭୀମଙ୍କୁ ପାଖରେ ବସାଇ କହିଲେ,
ଅର୍ଜୁନ ଦ୍ୱାରକା
all may sound like science fiction, we can and will prove the validity of our report.
So the plot, I'm just trying to get this straight. The plot is for these spacelings to take over the planet, aided by a group of men here on Earth.
A shadow conspiracy within our own government.
Who are growing corn in the middle of the desert, which features pollen, which was genetically altered to hold a virus, which will be taken away by bees, whose sting transmits the virus, causing the growth of an extraterrestrial biological entity inside the human host.
Which we will prove now that the X-Files have been reopened.
Your presumption, Agent Mulder, is far greater than the case you make for that eventuality.
I'm not sure I understand.
Justify your reassignment on the X-Files with little more than a rattle-trap account of high adventure in the Antarctic.
Hi, I'm Dr. J. This week on Change Surfer Radio, we'll be talking to Charles Hatfield, a scholar of the comic book.
Mention some very questionable travel expenses.
How will the internet affect the distribution and perhaps ultimately the sale of comic art? And also an aesthetic or formalistic side, that is, how might this art form be adapted, or how might a successful mutation of comic art for the 21st century be created?
Remind you that the FBI is not a school for science or for the grinding of personal axes. And hopefully you will be able to present us with some material evidence to support a continued investigation. And hopefully you will be able to present us with some material evidence.
Account of high adventure in the Antarctic.
Grinding of personal axes.
On the internet.
I and hopefully you will be able to present us with some material evidence for a continued investigation.
Scully was assigned to the X-Files as a scientist, was stung by one of these bees.
Obviously, we had him pounding the nails, stretching the canvas.
Triad, you know, the Spanopia, Melopia, and Largopia.
My mother always said that the day I went to California is the day I went bad. And probably also mad. And very glad.
Right.
But, you know, I wasn't alone, and I was out there, and also there was a lot of anger out there, too.
WZBC. Being relayed through the semi-transparent government overlay subsystem. No, I mean the sub below that one. That one we're always on. So certain voice inflections are being reprogrammed, and I have no idea what logarithm is being injected in there. I just hear my end. So I'll just pretend that it's not even there. What more can one man do in this world's army. Yes, it is a world army we're in.
You know, and there was a tremendous awareness out there, and it's like Timothy Leary said, turn on, tune in, and drop out. And Tuna and I most definitely did that.
Chris, you got to be careful of the western direction. It's very, very today, and we got a lot of that already. Unless you want more. Chris, if you get the most of the more, you change to the other side, but I don't think the other side is right over there. It's probably over by the Mariana Trench in the Western Pacific somewhere. And a lot of pressure on that. A lot of electrons in California, and armies of marching sperm cells. Very masculine. Of course, it seems like the opposite today because people are insane. So you can just about do, be, or say anything, and no one will hear you. WZBC out of Newton. I have no idea if I'm being heard, even though this is radio, a radio transmission. New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman version of a subroutine, sort of a pre-wash before the perm and turnout. So nobody gets bitch slapped and arrested on my watch. It's way too soon for that. We're in the pre-planning of the pre-plan stage. Kind of like the preamble to the preamble that comes before the part that anyone can perceive. And I kind of like it here. Not because I can't be perceived. Don't get me wrong now. I like it because you can have full power extension. And I kind of like that. I'm involved with power. A lot of power, powerlessness, long journeys through the timeless canyons of the time. There's a lot of that. There's as much of that as there can be. Even more than a long journey. Into power. Ability to act. With the will to act. Good friends of empowerment as well. Kissing cousins, you might say. The sexy part. Not a lot of that in California right now. Chris, you don't have to be anywhere today when you can be nowhere all the time. Much more powerful. Take it from me. In the canyon. In the parting of the Red Sea. I wouldn't want to walk through there. A lot of slime and rocks. Crack. WZBC.org. Sometimes a stream, sometimes just a golden stream, but foul all over, we hope. Archived MP3s of this quantified time sector of show. Studio475.com/new metaphysics. Studio475.com/new metaphysics. And newmetaphysics.com. A comin', a goin'. And wet all over. If you're man enough, if you have hair on your chest, if it's swinging, you could go there and get rock off. If you're not, stay away. You won't notice missing a thing.
Welcome to Change Surfer Radio. I'm Dr. J, and for the next half hour, I'll be your guide to a sexy high-tech vision of a radically democratic future.
I just changed my voice there, and I didn't even notice it.
I remember, the very first time I met you, when you were somewhere else, in Rhode Island, remember?
Yeah.
And I remember that meeting was very strange for me, because I remember really falling in love with you that day, because you were really charming and funny, and me and hung out.
Right. If we go public with this and we're wrong, that's it. It's over.
Fanopy is the way it looks on the page. And I bring hieroglyphs to that and drawings and stuff. And melopy is how it sounds. And melopy is where the muse comes in. I think there has to be another muse invented for the electromagnetic era, which I call retentia, for the retained image.
One issue has to do with territorial compromise, so territorial adjustment. What will that be? So that's one question, big, massive question. Question B. This is a black word, right? One issue has to do with territorial compromise, so territorial adjustment. What will that be? So that's one question, big, massive question. Question B has to do with rights. And here there's lots of different kinds of rights. There's, first of all, national rights. No, it's just listening. National rights. I call this one. Two. There's the right of resistance. And three. 3, there's the right to attack civilian targets. So there's three main types of rights that are involved, and there is also the question of how the territory works out. Well, and these are the topics I want to discuss, but look back a little to see how they have evolved into the form that they have now. I'm speaking incidentally primarily about the United States, not about Israel. In Israel, I should say, most of these things are discussed pretty straight and pretty frankly, as in the example that I just gave about the 1982 war. So I'm talking about the United States and how things are depicted here, what the U.S. role has been. It's been decisive, and it remains decisive, naturally. It's our country. We should try to understand it. With regard to the territorial issue, the standard formula for describing this is land for peace, which is not completely wrong, but conceals many things. I want to come back to what it conceals. With regard to the question of national rights, here we have a terminological problem. So let me clear up the terminology I'm going to use. There is a term in the United States called rejectionism. Rejectionism refers to the rejection of the national rights of Jews. Okay, so if, say, right-wing extremist Islamic fundamentalists deny the right of Jews to have national self-determination, that's called rejectionism, which is okay. I use the term the same way. However, it's possible to adopt a non-racist usage, and that's what I'm going to do. That is to use the term rejectionism to mean rejection of the rights, the national rights of one or the other of the two contending parties in the former Palestine. Now, that term usage can't be adopted in the United States for a very simple reason. If you adopt it, you have to conclude that the United States has been the leader of the rejectionist camp globally for 3 decades, joined by sometimes Gaddafi or maybe, Khomeini or somebody else. But overwhelmingly, the rejection front has been the U.S. position. And that won't do. So therefore, the term rejectionism has to be used in what is a strictly racist sense. And it is always used that way, virtually always. There's a couple of mavericks like me who insist on using it in a non-racist sense, but that's virtually unintelligible. So let me explain. I'm using it in the non-racist sense. So you're a rejectionist if you reject the national rights of one side or the other. What about the right to resist? Well, I'll come back to that. For example, in Lebanon, do Lebanese guerrillas have the right to resist an occupying army? See, here the United States has a unique position globally. I'll come back to the details, but its position is that they don't. That's why they're always called terrorists. I'll come back to the background of this. But on this issue, the United States stands alone with Israel, literally alone. Same issue arises in the occupied territories, exactly. What about the right to attack civilian targets? Well, here again, the United States stands essentially alone in just taking that right for granted. So when Israel bombed the Lebanese infrastructure a couple of weeks ago, the United States proved, if you look, you'll notice everyone else was either quiet or condemned it. And that's not the first time. That's typically the case. In the 1996 invasion, Clinton approved all the way through the Qana massacre. In fact, he even defended that one. It was only when international outrage reached such a high level that he didn't want to be that far out, but he kind of began to back off. And that goes all the way back, not just in the case of Lebanon, other countries too. And so the United States itself accepts, its, of course, assumes its own right to attack civilian targets. So if the United States decides, let's say, to destroy half the pharmaceutical supplies in a poor African country, that's just considered fine.
There's no problem about it. I mean, the only problem is whether they had good enough evidence to just to set up, to, you know, to back up their pretext. If, say, Islamic terrorists were to blow up half the pharmaceutical supplies in the United States, it might not be considered fine. Maybe somebody would even notice, you know, and think that there's something to say about it. But in the case of the United States, and this is like a footnote, this is a very minor example. If I don't want to even talk about the major examples. But one of the advantages of being the world's most powerful state with a very obedient, educated class at home, so you don't get much protest, is you can essentially do what you like. The right to attack civilian targets is comes free under those conditions. And it descends to client states. They have the same right. Israel is the leading client state, therefore it has that right kind of automatically. But it's not the only one. There are others as well.
And you could build robots whose software said that they weren't allowed to. But, you know, today you could build a factory that made more factories.
Hello, here's your friend and friend, Mr. Eddie Valli. The voice of Europe. How are you?
Today you could build a factory that factories. You know, his job was to manufacture factories. It's just it would be a very, very large thing.
Think lines and such.
Yeah.
And what the system would allow you to do is from a remote location, simply by knowing a telephone number and having, you know, something like a laptop computer,
right,
you could basically pop in on anybody's telephone conversation without their knowledge. You can monitor anyone, and anyone that had service with this particular
phone company. It seems to me that in order to do such a thing, even for law enforcement, even for the feds, you've got to have reasonable suspicion, go to a judge, and get a line tap authorization, right?
Art, no. This system, anyone could have access, but just by knowing how to do it. That no court order needed. In fact, one of the informants that was working against, you know, that was helping the FBI collect evidence against me during their investigation,
yeah,
he was in trouble himself, and when they executed a search warrant, they seized the manual, which he needed to access the system to essentially conduct intercepts or wiretaps from a remote location.
Wow.
And what the FBI ended up doing was actually giving him the manuals back when he was working for their interests. So this informant was actually using SAS to monitor people and collect the information to pass to the FBI.
And the FBI knew that?
Well, I guess, what do they call it? Plausible deniability?
Yes.
Of course they knew about it, but they don't know how the informant's getting the information. That's really, you know, it's a kind of what they call turning a blind eye. So imagine just by having access to a computer and having a phone line that you can dial up into, you know, to the voice, into the voice section, you know, you have to have two phone lines. One is to actually dial into the computer system itself, and one is to actually monitor the conversation. So you have to be able to dial into the voice path, if you will.
Oh, my God.
And from anywhere in the world, an outsider could monitor anyone, and the target would not have a clue.
All right. Question. Was this flaw? Was this a flaw in the system that allowed this, or was it an intentional backdoor?
It was an intentional backdoor, but the backdoor wasn't secured.
Not unnaturally, produces a terrible sense of personal insecurity and a jealous resentment of all stable life forms, all filthy, rotten, stinking samelings.
Keep your mind open and your radio tuned to the left. When I was 8 and having a hard time learning to read, my dad found the Classics Illustrated on some newsstand. They were classic novels, Captain's Courageous, Swiss Family Robinson, Ivanhoe, recast as comic books. Between the stimulating comics, the Ritalin, and the special ed, somehow I learned to read in there, and since then I've consumed comic art quite a lot. Later I became an avid reader of Marvel and AC Comics, Mad Magazine, and then in high school I graduated to Heavy Metal Magazine and graphic novels. My wife, who is a teacher of fine arts, is always complaining that her students have comic book sensibilities, however. I nod, and I privately really like those comic book influences I see in their art. Comic books seem to have invaded every medium. Comics have been adapted to Saturday morning cartoons, movies, computer games, and of course, products from other media have been adapted to comics. To understand popular culture without being aware of the comic medium would appear to be like a physicist ignoring the spectrum of radio frequency. But because of the paraliterature associations of comic art, comic criticism has fought a long, hard battle for legitimacy. My guest today, Charles Hatfield, is one of the critics fighting that.
I just think it's important to be able to perform your poetry well as for it to look good on the page. Just fanopia, and for it to appear well in the mind, which is logopia. And I think there has to be another muse invented for the electromagnetic era.
We shot all that stuff, but it's cut to the chase here. There's a great picture of Pollock standing in front of this mural, this blank canvas with his shadow. It was a really wonderful picture, and that was more or less the inspiration for this shot.
They justify this by claiming that as they have personally experienced what it is like to be virtually everybody else they can think of, they're in a very good position to appreciate all their worst points.
Once you have them captured, once they are playing that game with the people on the screen, this is like you got them by the throat. You can't let it go.
God.
I wish Dale was here.
Whatever the signal is, we better do something soon. Vega's gonna set.
That position is confirmed. We've got 4.4623 gigahertz.
Peripherally, on my theory on why socialism fails when he mentions greed. Socialism depends on altruism and therefore always has a fuel shortage. Capitalism runs on greed,
which is always abundantly available, and it will never have an energy crisis. Capitalism, while we may not have overt socialism in the United States, what about the individual aspects of the socialist ideology that have found their way into American life?
I had this feeling as I left, like how excited I was about meeting you, and then I had this grim feeling come over me, like, wow, I'm getting excited about a guy who's in jail.
Down to the bottom of the world to find my brother.
When I was a kid, the American flag was something absolutely marvelous. Whenever the American flag went by in a parade, we took our hats off, put our hands over our hearts, and we really felt it, because this is the symbol of the United States and the way the United States should behave.
You're doing merely by distorting information. There's a world of politics out there that has nothing to do with art that can use you as fodder and change people change people's beliefs and who you are and what you're doing merely by distorting information.
The piece of art it had commissioned.
It made me think that there's a world of politics out there that has nothing to do with art that can use you as fodder and change people's beliefs and who you are and what you're doing merely by distorting information. Never destroyed a work of art that they had commissioned before then. Lied, they distorted the hearing, I was set up in the kangaroo court. The day of the hearing, as many people in that building came out for the piece or against the piece.
A new professor of English at Cal State Northridge, Dr. Hatfield's dissertation, Graphic Interventions, is now in the process of getting published.
Should have even been the proposition, I don't know, whether we should have people voting on whether they like the work of art or not.
In the spirit of full disclosure, we are also old friends. Charlie, when and how did comics become a popular art form?
Comic art really became...
Next day, the government came out and said, the people of this building has declared that they want this piece out of the building. That was a lie. I phoned up and said, hey, he said, you correct it. Did I have a venue to the press? No.
A popular art form during the days of woodblock printing in the late 15th century, if you...
Excuse me, because they wanted to change the administration policy. Architecture. They wanted art that affirmed their principles of enhancement. They wanted decor that they could understand. They weren't interested in the language of art. Not at all, and they never will be. Why would one think that? I think that if you're trying to break new ground, there's a hostility that surrounds you because people who you've moved away from resent the fact that you're doing something that's kind of taboo. I think in order to persevere, you have to be obstinate. You have to be marginalized. You probably have to stay away from, depends on your personality, a certain aspect of the sociability of the art world. Because I think finally what happens to a lot of very, very young artists...
Sociability meaning what? Parties?
Well, I think art is what we do. Culture is what's done to us. And art is what we make, but culture does something else to artists, and it pretty much eats them up like popcorn. Of respect for them. If I asked, well, we've been talking about, but if I asked you to name three architects or three film directors or three politicians or three whatever, three composers or whatever, you could probably do it like that. If I said name three living contemporary sculptors, you'd probably have to scratch your head.
I would.
Because it's not part of the dialogue that you and I in the world of consumerism deals with. So it's another kind of language. It's always taken more time. It's always been ridiculed. It's heavy to move around. It's difficult to deal with. It's not like taking a photograph and making 30 of them and getting them out all over the world simultaneously.
Confirmed. We've got 112 jam keys. We have to have something like that in order to hold ourselves together.
EK carat equals YM. L carat P backslash RCGK slash percent what?
Michael Mayer?
Who am I talking to?
This is Linda.
I know that, darling.
Huh? Who am I talking to?
I got something you want.
Well, I think you got the wrong number.
You'll find out.
Hello?
Who am I talking to?
This is Ricky. Who's this?
Okay, now, come get your friggin' dogs.
My dogs? I don't know nothing about no dogs, ma'am.
I got something you want.
Me?
Come get your damn dog.
I don't have no dogs, ma'am.
David,
TV Abbott
speaking.
Is this Yakinich?
Sure is.
Listen, my name is Roy D. Mercer. I got a bone to pick with you. Down there about a month ago. He's a senior in high school and he wanted to sign up for the Navy, and you told him he's too scrawny and needed to go home and work out.
know that? Nah, I would not have done that.
That's what he said. You told him he's too scrawny, and he come home, and he charged up about $200 worth of dumbbells and about $100 worth of protein powder. And that ain't the worst of it.
Later on in the party, and it was kind of awkward, you know.
Garv, it sounds like you're on an internet phone, are you?
No, I'm on my cell phone.
Cell phone, okay.
/ percent Y zero Grav accent Grav accent Grav accent X nine JK five Grav accent Grav accent.
I call retentia for the retained image on tape or on film or on micro disc. I just think it's important to be able to perform your poetry. On the page.
Didn't I recall this yesterday when we were both as one? Then reveal thy artistry. Then reveal thy artistry. Then reveal thy artistry.
The muse comes in. I think there has to be another muse invented for the electromagnetic era, which I call retentia, for the retained image on tape or on film or on micro disc or whatever. And I just think it's important to be able to perform your poetry well as for it to look good on the page, which is phanopoeia, and for it to appear well in the mind, which is logopoeia. That's called a talking tie. It just goes back to performing. In ancient times, they had a little 4-7 string tortoiseshell lyre with a tortoiseshell as the sounding board and little cow horn or wooden arms, and then a crossbar for the strings, and the poet would sit there with a plectrum or something to strum his keys, the strings, and would perform his poetry. And it was this hypnotic, riverine type of verse that people would listen to for hours and hours. These dactyls, da 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 da.
Abel did Bad Lieutenant,
yeah,
which is a very special film as well, and
no,
same kind of response.
Abel.
Huh?
The Grizzly Abel.
Grizzly Abel, yeah. And I did another film with him I just finished with Isabella Rossellini, and Christopher Walken is the lead, and Annabella's in this one too, and this particular, and what's his name? Sean Penn's brother.
Oh,
love him. Chris Penn.
Yeah.
Oh, he's brilliant.
Yeah, good.
So this film is called A Funeral. It's a gangster film. And then we did a film with Eddie Murphy. We just finished The Nutty Professor, which is, you know, you know the films, the smart budget creative films, and Eddie's movie is like $60 billion to make, you know, but it's brilliant. He's playing so many characters, and that I believe it was necessary to really bring him back, to let him be not himself but the other characters, because he's been himself too much, you know. I mean, it's like, I don't know how.
It's a big weight.
And I think this is a great vehicle for him. This is the one that's gonna blow him out the frame.
Security, OSHA, and other regulations, state education, a progressive tax structure, etc.
Frank Borzage, King Vidor, were conductors. They orchestrated visual symphonies.
Source location yet?
We put it right smack in the middle.
Beautiful land, water, and air. We pray for our people who have died during this past year, and we join America in grieving for those who lost their lives at the World Trade Center. And I hope that you will join me in grieving too, for the immense suffering of our sisters and brothers in Afghanistan, in Palestine, in Iraq, human beings who are referred to by this government as collateral damage.
Down to the real historicist answer that people like David Konzola provided, but in terms of the American comic strip, which is most familiar to probably most of the listeners out there, that would be almost 100 years ago, a little bit over 100 years ago, in the 1890s, in the real crush of turn of the century New York and the journalism circulation wars at that time. The comic book dates to the early mid-1930s, and was originally a product premium for manufacturers like Procter & Gamble and so on. The earliest comic books were giveaways, always commercial in nature. Some were given away in the hundreds of thousands at gas stations and the like. Someone figured out, specifically, some men who worked for Eastern Color, a printer right here in Connecticut figured out that you could indeed sell these as independent commodities, and you could make a lot of money off of them by repackaging familiar material from the newspapers and placing it between two covers and charging a mere 10 cents for it. It was a way to keep idle presses running.
Christian Stone.
Shot the first scene, the cemetery scene. The opening is shot.
Well, you know, of course, you're right.
90% of the economy's production has gone to the top 1% of the population.
I didn't know enough about you, and I just kind of like, well, this guy is, you know, he smuggled drugs, he's... First of all, I was very judgmental. He's responsible for this, he's responsible for that. And then the more I met you and the more we corresponded and then the more you shared me about your childhood and then all what the real story was, you know, my view of you and my, you know, my judgment of you really changed completely differently.
Fear clutches to my breast.
Oh, grab these computers. They're so naughty and so complex. I couldn't be them.
You fuck! You piece of
of marijuana with intent to distribute.
interested in kind of building a modern instrument, electronic instrument that was small and wouldn't overwhelm the poetry. So I got these little tuned synthesizers, two of them, one for each hand, with the keyboards on the fingers.
The genius was 81. Fearful of blindness. Caught in a wheelchair. Staring at death. But the angel of mercy gave him a year to scissor some shapes to soothe the scythe. One must study an object a long time, the genius said, to know what its sign is. The scissors were his scepter, and the cutting was as the prow of a boat to sail him away. To sail him away. To sail him away.
You know, and it's the reason why I made this film about you, because, you know, I think it's a classic American tale.
Job ahead of him. But Lisa thought it did a nice job with it. You know, then again, he's standing in front of the thing, and like there was one time where I stretched out my arms and did all this shit. Like, what are you doing, man? Just stand there. That's what's wonderful about editing. You just cut out all this shit.
And accused of possession of 660 pounds of marijuana with intent to distribute. How do you plead?
He's in there trying to get them dumbbells put together, and his little pet hamster, Liberace, got loose and was down on the floor. It ain't funny. He dropped a 20-pound weight on him and squished him.
Squished him?
Squished him, yeah. Little Liberace. It ain't funny. So I need about $300 and a new hamster. So I'm coming down there and whooping somebody's ass.
Was a way to maximize profits. So it was something that kept the presses moving at night. It reminds me of the days before the Bessemer furnace, when they had to keep foundries, they had to keep furnaces going 24 hours a day in order to be cost effective. Comics had origins like that. And then they really came into their own in the late mid-30s, early 40s, with a tremendous burst of popularity. And then they've had setbacks and boosts, dramatic ones, ever since then. The real resurgence period for me and for a lot of my colleagues is the late 1960s, the underground comics, or comics with an X kind of period, the real scurrilous underground material that came out of the underground press syndicate.
Furry Freak Brothers and things like that.
Furry Freak Brothers, R. Crumb's work, Gilbert Shelton, Spain Rodriguez, a lot of interesting comics of that era, Zap Comics, Women's Comics, you name it.
Well, you think it's funny, I guarantee you, I'm going to swell one of your eyes up. You look like Popeye. Roger, it ain't funny.
How do you plead?
Your Honor, I'd like to say a few words to the court, if I may.
Well, you're going to have to stop slouching and stand up to address this court, sir.
All right. Well, in all honesty, I don't feel that what I've done is a crime. And I think it's illogical and irresponsible for you to sentence me to prison. Because when you think about it, what did I really do? I crossed an imaginary line with a bunch of plants. I mean, you say I'm an outlaw, you say I'm a thief, but where's the Christmas dinner for the people on relief? Huh? You say you're looking for someone who's never weak but always strong, to gather flowers constantly, whether you were right or wrong. Someone to open each and every door, but it ain't me, babe, huh? No, it ain't me, babe. It ain't me you're looking for, babe. You follow?
probably a little kid walking along the beach for a couple of miles, turning around, walking back, looking at his footprints, and being amazed that what was on his right in one direction, when he reversed himself, was now on his left, and it was completely different, and it startled him, and he never got over it.
DHP/Y% and JFCN 55.
So I need about $300 in a New Hampshire. So I'm coming down there and whooping somebody's ass.
Something we'll definitely get into in the next segment. We're going to talk about your life at Apple. But in the meantime, folks, as always, go to WAS.org. He's got a very extensive FAQ there that's with all kinds of letters, all kinds of answers to questions that you can find out what he's doing now, what he was doing in the past, what his thoughts are about various things, including, it sounds like the much-hated A&E billionaire biography, right?
Repeat that.
It sounds like you weren't a big fan of the A&E billionaire biography about you.
Oh, I was not, because they had called me a billionaire.
Yeah.
Pretty much my attitude was, I never did this any of that Apple stuff for money. I gave away the schematics right from the start. You know, like, I'm just trying to do this to help people. And I had a lot of trouble being convinced to start a company. I was just afraid of running companies. I just wanted to write good programs and design neat hardware. So, you know, I kind of just pretty much gave away most of my money on plan.
That's
so I'm not definitely in that billionaire category, but it sure did get me thousands and thousands and thousands of emails.
That's right.
Graph which shows him sitting in his wheelchair, barefoot touching the floor, drawing with crisscross steel a shape in the gouache. His helper sits near him till he hands her the form to pin to the wall. He points with a stick how he wants it adjusted, this way and that, minutitudinous, the last blue iris blooms at the top of its stalk.
No matter how great art directors you have, you cannot afford to make it so used as a street is. It's impossible. Somehow you feel it, even if you don't see it. That's the magic of film, and you never know how it happens, but it does happen. Of course, it was against all the studio rules. We have the backlot. Shoot it there. I spent $2 million on the street. Use it.
Confirmed. We've got 112 jam scans.
All right, do you have a source location yet?
We put it right smack in the middle. Vega.
Okay, thanks, Ian. Just keep tracking, and we'll get back to you.
Yeah, righto.
I think certain things stick in your claw, or they stick in your imagination, and you have a need to come to terms with them. And spatial differences, what's on your right, what's on your left, what it means to walk around a curve, looking at a convexity and then looking at a concavity, just asking fundamental questions about what you don't understand, those things have always interested me.
That's where I date the origins of a lot of the material that interests me most, from around 1968 forward to the present time.
Mm-hmm. Is the history different in Europe? I remember that when I was subscribing to heavy metal, mm-hmm. it seemed like there was a much more mm-hmm. respectable genre mm-hmm. of comic and very highbrow comic art coming out of Europe.
This has to do with the periodical nature of comics in the United States and the periodical nature of comics in Europe and the different formats or the different kinds of media that comics appeared in. There have always everywhere been a sort of rough-hewn populist art form, first and foremost, but Western European comics, and especially the sort of Franco-Belgian tradition that's produced characters like Tintin or Tintin, Asterix, mm-hmm. and so on, that was a different kettle of fish from American comics, and that helped lead in the 1960s to an innovative magazine called Pilote. Some refer to the Pilot Revolution. This helped to adultify a whole generation of readers who grew up with French language comics, grew up with things like Tintin, and then started reading Pilot, started reading the offshoots of Pilot, L'Echo des Savants and Metal Hurlant, or Screaming Metal, which was the French parent magazine of heavy metal. So what you were getting in the 70s was the American newsstand sort of bastard child of Metal Hurlant from France. It was this kind of import version, this kind of selective section of stuff from Europe was coming out and being translated in heavy metal along with some indigenous American stuff. What happened to a lot of those people in France is that they saw American underground comics after 1968 and they thought, oh my God, we can do this. We can not only produce very professionally crafted work that's slick and has a broad-based appeal, but we can vent our souls, we can do what we want, we can do erotica, we can do psychologically probing material, confessional material, satire, politics, scatology, fantasy, psychoactive drug stuff, whatever. We can do it. And you can see a lot of that in heavy metal, especially early on in the run of that magazine, that venerable magazine that's still going in some form. You can see the kind of head trippy quality and post-underground quality. So the Europeans got a shot in the arm from American underground comics, and then they came and gave an enormous shot in the arm, I think, to the American scene starting, I guess, in the late 70s, early 80s.
And then you had the Japanese manga and anime mm-hmm. scene, which was mm-hmm. happening quite independently, I assume, or were they mm-hmm. cross-influenced as well?
Japan has its own indigenous comic art tradition, and it has something to do with indigenous art forms that are really divorced from Western forms. But
it's for me, forgetting all the stuff that you did, I think it's really about what happens to kids when their parents are irresponsible.
Dad,
1%. This is just not sustainable, and it looks like it's getting worse.
Brakehead spinning, body propelled by one hand, legs pretzeled, kicking and rolling shoulders, two partner balancing acts, vertical electric boogie, the elasticity of which, sending waves, has magically lengthened the dancer's body. Breaker falling on his back, body supported with the palms of the hands and feet, building the pose called the bridge. Wave dancers passing modified lightning to one another. Electric boogie locking. Hand right angle to wrist.
I think this is a great vehicle for him. This is the one that's going to blow him out the frame.
Let's take a break there, because this goes along that. You said one day people started telling me that my company was the most powerful, one of the most powerful, if not the most profitable, black-owned entertainment company in the world.
The danger here comes more when you scale these things down, something that's sufficiently small.
I don't really think that the issue is whether we've had socialism or whether we're going to have strict socialism. The pendulum will swing back, and wealth will be redistributed, as it has been in the past, by collectivist government policy. It may not happen this election, it may not happen next election, but it's just not sustainable to have such a disparity in our country.
Well, you said, but Doug, you said you don't...
A lot of aspects of the way we're governed and the way the economy runs it are collectivist, progressive income tax, and the pendulum will swing back. It's just not sustainable.
All right, thanks for your call, Doug.
Yeah.
Well, you think it's funny? I guarantee you, I'm gonna swell one of your eyes up. You look like Popeye.
Curiosity, inquisitiveness. Then I used to draw every day, and I used to draw in order to please my parents, because my brother was taller and bigger and stronger. And in order to capture my affection of my parents, really.
The whole thing started to scare me, didn't it? I don't know, it felt carcinogenic or something, you know what I mean?
We dump our recycling, our paper, we dump right here on Staten Island with a paper plant.
I want to make sure, I want to finish this out. I need some justice today.
Go down to the light.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
make the left to the left.
Let's go to where they said, no?
Yeah, we should definitely. We came all the way out here.
The sun smelled really funky. It's like toilet on top of toilet on top of old deli slime at the bottom of the dump. Well, you think that's dump right in there?
No, that is.
Be careful where you're walking, you know what I mean? That's not...
No, 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 it ain't me, baby. It ain't me you're looking for, babe. You follow?
WZBC out of Newton. We won the lottery pick this month in the mayor's private antechamber room behind the laundry sub-closet. Wasn't covered by the popular press, however. Big overseas for a sort of twisted cultural kind of humor that's been developing over there regarding here. And our group has been able to win that this past week on kind of a virtual random choosing, actually fixed by various of the mayor's people. And we were the virtual winners and are able to broadcast on the radio for a whole week here at 90.3. And I am honored, pleased, and just primed like a big vial of nitroglycerin, man, for this privilege. Out of Newton, where it all began, behind that Nabisco factory many years ago. We have a cultural rooting in the community, a history. We have momentum rooted in our community. WZBC. So even if it sounds a little odd, a little strange, perhaps bad, perhaps very, very bad, it's rooted in the cultural intertwinings of all kinds of crazy stuff here in our homeland, centrally located in the center of the prime tri-state northeastern area. So, listen again, friend, if it perhaps does not communicate right away. This, of course, New Metaphysics, a bandstand, a soapbox, a downhill racer, if you will. A mail drop. A portal, a hole, a designated mechanism of craft. Trade craft, of course. Communication. Dissemination. Artificial and otherwise. And it is absolutely live. I give you my word. We have literally hundreds of musicians in the studio, sharing mics in some cases, and sharing drug cases when it comes to all the guys named Mike. That's the name we give the guy that brings those. So we're lubed. We're ready for action. We're all we're greased up and ready to probe in search of elusive peaks and valleys of pleasure, in the orgasmic chemical test tube of humanity, where it all is happening. It didn't begin there, though. We've come late on the story. Body cultural politic as it is. But we're going to carry our baton proudly and ram that baby home when we come up behind the next runner. Studio475.com/newmetaphysics, a veritable storehouse, a plethora, a cultural, just a greenhouse of thriving, reintroduced, orthogonal entried copies of other events, vouchsafed to you, absolutely no cost to you at all. In fact, if you download and listen, wealth of our culture may pour upon you in unpredictable, veritable, synchronistical ways beyond kin. And it may not. Your life may not change. You may still skulk along in the alleys of credibility, sidle crab-like across floors of wasted, vaunted chamber spaces and things like that, and forever look upwards or downwards and wonder why. It's a free country. At least some things are free here, and these are for you. And of course, newmetaphysics.com, a veritable storehouse of audible wealth for free. You can download and stream all at the same time, if you know how, if you know what you're doing, if you can cross the great water and not be torn to shreds by behemoths of the deep. Otherwise, just double click and go have a sandwich. Come back later and impress your friends. In fact, tape a show and bring it home to the folks for the high holy holiday period. And WZBC.org for live streaming of the Mayor's Choice Radio. If it is streaming, that is. Modern communication being what it is and all.
Go ahead, get it out of your system.
Those kids grew up and be irresponsible parents to their kids, and it's like this cycle that you and I've talked about a lot. And to me, that's what is the most important thing of the movie, and how that realization came and kind of where you're at today right now, you know?
Yeah. Gosh, you know, your concepts are really interesting, Mr. Young.
Thank you.
Unfortunately for you, the line you crossed was real, and the plants you brought with you were illegal, so your bail is $20,000.
Got a little boy over here tore it up. He'd won the 4-H Talented Pet Contest the last 2 years in a row with Liberace. Mama made him a little blue sequin jacket, and Raymond taught him how to set it a tall piano and pound on it with his nose.
I mean, these laws are just a heavy weight on me, and disobeying those is sin, and it has to do with my eternal character.
Okay, 101. The pulse sequence through every prime number between 2 and 101.
Who are we going to call now?
Everybody.
It also has something to do with the influx of American comic strips, which certainly influenced the Japanese in the early 20th century. The real manga industry, I think, could be dated to post-war Japan, and people like Tezuka, who was the first great animator as well as first great modern comic book artist or manga artist in Japan. And he and his peers helped to sort of goose again a whole generation of readers who grew and grew and grew. So what happened is the audience gradually diversified because people, instead of giving up childish things, matured as the form matured. And Japan has very particular comic art conventions that make it distinct from Western comics, as well as
round eyes,
different approaches to depicting motion, different approaches to the timing, the staging, and the pacing of events, a much greater tolerance for comics that seem to read in real time. Mm-hmm. They say that many people who read comic magazines in Japan will read them at such a speed that they actually create a slight breeze as the pages are turning because they read with such terrific speed. And
$200,000, you'll really save me. She is here today with hard and incontrovertible evidence, scientific proof that the virus she was infected with is in fact extraterrestrial.
Than Camera 95, R3BMMA4-3, less than 2L at 3 / Grove accent and number 2 V Grove accent are greater than number R carat B.
Libido. Libido is the impulse to life.
Comes from where?
Comes from the heart.
And the heart is what?
The heart is the organ of opening up to somebody else. That's the human quality as opposed to the animal qualities, which have to do with primarily with self-interest. Opening up to that which is other is the opening of the heart. And that's as the troubadours saw it. It is the opening of the heart.
I can certainly understand, though, why the church was threatened by this, because how can you have a church if everyone's libido is her own god?
Why not? Why can't the church handle that? If you can sanctify a marriage that has been arranged, why can't you sanctify a marriage where two people have joined each other?
So the courage to love became the courage to affirm against tradition. What? Whatever knowledge stands confirmed in one's own experience.
Yeah.
Why was that important in the evolution of the West?
Well, it was important in that it gives the West this accent, as I've been saying, on the individual. That he should have faith in his experience and not simply mouth terms that have come to him from other mouths.
Grown over. The guy was telling me, you weren't there, that, you know, there's vegetable refuse and vegetables mutate with each other. And he's got like zucchini potatoes and...
Get the hell out.
Yeah, banana mango, banana broccoli, carrot celery, you know, it's like the health food juices that get together. No, but he, what he does is he goes home and he shellacks them. He dries them out and shellacks them. Help! Help! We're stuck in the dump!
Jessica and Rebecca were pretty cool. I enjoyed spending some time with them in my apartment. It seemed like they enjoyed my apartment and liked pretty much the idea of living there.
Remember, I'm not talking about a small radio station in Laramie. I'm talking about the national agenda-setting media.
Christopher Makos wakes me up. I didn't know he was here. He says he'll meet us and show us around a little because he's leaving tomorrow. He's been given a car and driver. At the hotel, he introduces me to this crazy rich Japanese woman who was on her way to have lunch with the king. She is dressed in her golfing outfit. Pink tights, red platform shoes, a flowered cape, big flowery hat, and tons of tacky jewelry. All of which is supposed to be real diamonds, etc. She gives me a bag full of magazines and books. All of them are about her. She's a walking media mogul. It seems like she lives for her self-promotion. The books have photos of her with every famous person she's met and every place she's been. She travels with 50 pieces of luggage, many of which are probably full of those promotional packages. She has a photographer and a man with a video system with her. Our entire meeting is well documented. I autograph her golf bag and she leaves. Andy would love her. She's like a one-woman show, the ultimate self-promotion maven. After this, we went with Christopher to the home of an 80-year-old friend of his so he could say goodbye to her. She was like an aging movie starlet in her Moroccan hideaway. It's amazing how beauty shows through, even in a body that is completely aged. I'm not sure what it was like when Brian was here. He said it had changed drastically, but somehow it must have still been similar. I haven't gotten any sense of curiosity or inspiration yet, but that again is also making me feel insecure and stupid. I'm not drawing and I don't feel like drawing. I suppose it is supposed to be a vacation, but somehow I feel guilty about it. Sometimes I doubt my entire existence is worth very much. It all seems so fake and as if I'm just acting out a role. The problem is I don't even understand what the role is anymore. It is really hard for me to accept the fact that I've totally lost my sexuality. If I had been here a year ago, I would have already had at least two or three Moroccan boys. Now, with KS spots all over me, I'm afraid to even attempt to have any kind of contact with them. I've totally lost the ability to seduce and enjoy the art of seduction, the source of much of my inspiration to work and live. It sounds ridiculous that something like sex could hold such high importance in someone's life who supposedly has the profound gift of artistic invention, but it does and always has. Maybe that is the source of some of my guilt about my incompetence. It was always impossible to separate art and life for me, and life was inevitably dominated by sexuality. It is probably the driving force behind all of my work. Now, isn't that pathetic? Or is it? Maybe, just maybe, it is not so uncommon and even quite normal. The ludicrous situation of traveling with someone who I am desperately in love with, who is not and can never be my lover, is starting to take its toll. I try to understand and to keep telling myself rationally that this is a healthy relationship somehow, but every day seems like it hurts more somehow. It's not really his fault. I started the whole thing and I let it continue and build itself up in my mind to the point where I can, where I had created the entire picture myself. I feel like I'm getting exactly what I wanted. But how can this be what I wanted? How could I have ever thought I could change myself to the point where I can accept the fact that my life is being run by someone else? Or that my destiny predetermines my existence?
One is to escape. Okay, what's the other? All right, I guess we gotta open up books.
Man, fuck you.
We ain't opening shit.
That's right.
You just the warden's little bitch. We're hip to you. Doing this shit to get some time cut off.
The fuck, why not? Listen, I want to get out of this shithole as quickly as fucking possible. But for me to walk early, some of you's got to graduate. You should forget it. You're hopeless. Go to sleep.
Fuck you.
See you in the shower.
Drive ass turkey.
Now, the rest of you guys might be able to get diplomas and get jobs when you get back on the outside.
Shit, I'm in this bitch for life.
Motherfucker, I'm a criminal. Ain't nobody giving me no fucking job. Well, let's learn some criminal shit, too. Tell you what, I'll make you a deal. What about half the time I teach you about this George Washington character? The other half, I'll teach you how to smuggle drugs.
You don't know dick about smuggling no drugs.
Oh, no. I was arrested in Chicago with 660 pounds of grass. I think that qualifies me.
How the fuck you get 660 pounds of weed?
Flew it in from Mexico in a single-engine Cessna. So we got a deal or what?
Hey, George. George.
What?
Listen to what you say to the class today about this smuggling. Never believe you were a murderer. I knew you were a Mexico.
I'm tired, Diego. Go to bed.
You know, in my country, I'm a Mexico. A man with a dream. A man on the rise. To take nothing and make it something. Do you have a dream, George?
Well, I would if I could get some fucking sleep.
You have a dream. And maybe you will accomplish it. But yet you failed. Why?
Because I got caught.
No, manito. You failed because you had the wrong dream.
Right.
I'm always poring over them very closely when I read the American translations of them, so I may be reading them wrong if that's the case. But
when I lived in Japan, it wasn't uncommon to see someone on the subway breezing through a 500-page comic book. You know,
500 pages a week, sales in the millions. Read it on the commuter cane, toss it into a bin.
Too excited with them around and asked them to leave. I told them I would call them soon and let them know when I made the decision. And I had to go take a shower. And then I went back and sat in the darkness.
Side of town for an undiscovered new friend shelter. Ah, I see the shock of being lied to by your lover. A slap of reality, actuality. Shouldn't have shared those secrets so early. It's not the heart that gets broken. You've seen those medical shows. It's a person's spirit. It's a person's spirit.
Now, there has been a biography written about you, correct?
There have been a few things that covered chapters of my life. I'd say the closest one to being accurate and interesting was in the book Hackers by Stephen Levy, long time ago. Probably the closest to the stuff that I'm really close to in my own heart. And there is a little book for, like, kids that are in elementary school writing reports on people, done by Martha Kendall called Woz. I don't know. It only gets printed every now and then. That one's out.
How do you feel about that? I mean, none of us who are listening to the show right now live or via the archive probably have ever had their lives under the kind of scrutiny that your life has been under. How do you feel about people being able to do that? And as you said on your website, Pirates of Silicon Valley, nobody asked you anything about this. No one asked you whether this stuff was accurate. How do you feel about people appropriating your life for their own gain?
I don't think they appropriate my life. The press has always made up stories, and a lot of history gets written wrong. You know, when you're close to it and you know the truth, you say, oh my God, they got that wrong. But then it gets repeated by everyone else from then on, and you realize a lot of history is kind of tainted by how people want to view it. So my joke is I just have to read all the books and the papers to find out who I am so I can be that way.
But interestingly enough, you've been portrayed for the most part very sympathetically. Now, that's undoubtedly a fact of your life. You're a very sympathetic guy. People have a lot of empathy for you. Steve Jobs hasn't gotten off so well. Tell us about your relationship back then at the beginning days of Apple and now with Steve Jobs.
Oh, we were just best friends for a long time before that even. And just loved technology and computers, and Steve kind of appreciated the fact that I was, you know, just some kind of, like you said, prodigy, some real great designer. I could just whip out designs real quickly, and it was just a time in my life. And every time I talked about maybe building a computer, he always said, well, can you add a puppy? Well, yes, you can someday. And can you do this, too? Well, yes, you can have an operating system someday. Can you have multiple users? Yeah, you could do that.
So was he the guy that drove you to, you said earlier that in your early life you were competing with yourself. Was Jobs the guy who drove you, either for good or bad, to make the Apple a better product?
No, but he was a close friend, one of the ones that kind of liked what I was doing. I was always so independent that you couldn't have affected what I was doing. You know, my types of design. Matter of fact, I started going to the Homebrew Computer Club way before Steve ever went.
My brother, I would draw every night after dinner, and my parents would encourage that drawing. Drawing for me became another language, and it became a language that was a key into the world. It kind of mediated a reality for me. So I've been drawing since I was 4 years old, and my parents encouraged it, and encouragement kind of breeds confidence.
Did you?
accept nor deny. But the military presence arriving in
sources close to the DLA report that the planet Earth has indeed been contacted by some form of intelligent being living outside of our solar system. Again, there is no confirmation that that
official IA was sent from this government.
I want all these people out of here.
Security advisor, Mike
the girl.
Valencia.
22 stations worldwide now confirming the signal. Vega is currently below our horizon, so what you're hearing is the signal from the retina
array in Russia. Let's get decryption people in here now. Lenichowski is visiting at Caltech.
Explain this to me. If the source of the signal is so sophisticated, why the remedial math?
Exactly. Why don't they just speak English?
Yeah, well, maybe because 70% of the planet speaks other languages. Mathematics is the only truly universal language, Senator. It's no coincidence that they're using primes.
I don't get it.
Prime numbers. That would be integers that are only divisible by themselves and one. Yeah, we think that this may be a beacon, some kind of an announcement to get our attention.
Well, if it's attention you want, I think you got that. One thing, Vega. People have been looking at Vega for years. No results. And now, yesterday, they start broadcasting primes. Why?
Well, it's hardly yesterday, because the signal has been transmitting for 26 years.
Dr. Aralee.
Excuse me, who are
Ellie,
you?
Michael Kitts, National Security Advisor.
Doctor, let me first say that your reputation...
Actually, first, could you ask the gentleman with the firearms to wait outside? It's supposed to be a civilian facility.
Doctor, with all due respect to your scientific knowledge.
Hey. Hi. Oh, I'm so glad you're back. Come on, I got something for you to hear.
Is this cool? Who are all these people?
I have no idea. Here, sit down, and we could use some help with the spectrum analysis, okay?
Oh, God, listen to that. I'll get right out.
I'll get you the headsets.
So I'll just come right to the point, shall I? Your having sent this announcement all over the world may well constitute a breach of national security.
Boy, this isn't a person-to-person call, and you can't possibly think that a civilization sending this kind of message would intend it just for Americans.
I'm saying you might have consulted us. Obviously, the contents of this message could be extremely sensitive.
You want to classify prime numbers now?
Mike, please. Because of the Earth's rotation, we're only in line with Vega so many hours a day. The only way to completely monitor the signal is to get the cooperation of other stations. If Dr. Arroway hadn't acted quickly, we could have lost key elements.
Okay, fine. They've got the primes. But if you're right about there being a more significant transmission still
which
to come...
Which will also need the network's help to receive and decode by...
Doctor, do you understand that my job is to protect...
I hear it.
Hear what?
Harmonic?
Bingo. I had Willie ask for Tan to retune to 8.9247 gigahertz. There's a lot more here, folks.
All right, Fish, let's get on the negative sideband.
I'm already on it.
What is going on?
Another signal.
Whoa, look at all
another
those.
Signal.
Yeah,
look at that.
Second signal at double the frequency. It looks like... Somebody get a TV monitor.
Church, what do you know about cocaine?
For $$/$. ZCQ/Provax and %4/@\heal. QP.3 Q less than at QH Provax and
now, I want you to call up his 4-H teacher and tell him why Raymond ain't going to have a pat in the show this year.
I'm glad. I'm too old for this shit.
How'd you like me to jerk a half hitch in your ass?
On a radio news show in Laramie. Chances are very strong that you pick up what was in the Times that morning and you decide that's the news.
At the time, Frank Stella was just a little older, Rauschenberg, Philip Guston, Ad Reinhardt.
But there was this other event also in your childhood. Your father takes you somewhere.
Takes me to a shipyard.
To a shipyard.
Where he's working.
Where he's working as a, what, welder? Or
no, pipe fitter.
Pipe fitter. And you see...
He takes me to the launching of a ship that he's worked on. And it,
because he's proud.
He's proud, and it's and it's a little frightening because it's so enormous. It's like a skyscraper on its side.
Yeah, land of a land.
Yes, and it's obdurate, and there are thousands of people there, and there looks like there's going to be a celebration, but it's also a moment of high anxiety because they undo the shackles and the dunnage, and all of a sudden this enormous object is going down a chute at a fairly increasingly rapid speed. And it hits the water, and when it first goes into the water, the bow goes under and the stern lifts, and there's like an apprehension that it's not going to make it. And then it raises, and it's adrift, and it's afloat, and people are celebrating, and there's foghorns. And to me, that was a transformation. It was like an object can become something light. That amount of tonnage could become something lyrical. And the approval during the war of seeing a ship being launched, it was something that I'd never gotten over it. And so it became a reoccurring dream for me.
Still a dream?
Still is.
A dream?
A dream.
And there is a direct line between that and this.
Well, causalities are hard to really pinpoint in terms of saying this caused that. But right. Certainly it's something that...
Interest.
I think there's a connection. How one would make it is difficult to ascertain. But for sure. And I've always been interested in the sea and nautical building. And engineering, and math, and a love for drawing, and a certain inquisitiveness about things I don't understand. And engineering. Math. And a love for drawing. I think there's a connection. How one would make it is difficult to ascertain. For drawing, and a certain inquisitiveness about things I don't understand, and a playfulness. I think if you want to make art, at some point you have to suspend judgment, and you have to involve yourself with play and not worry about the outcome.
Jog around town a couple times. Went into a drunken atmosphere. Some recognized as significant. Congratulations, Gibson. I enjoy catching my buzz at the Lizard, getting stoned to stone soup and baked at the Third Rail. Other bars and clubs, hustlers, fist fighters, womanizers, with home wreckers and gold diggers, dollar sign eyes, DWIs.
About cocaine?
Well, we remember all too well that our people throughout the Americas have been for centuries the collateral damage of the European invasion. Now, the events of this past September were tragic and have affected all of us. Many innocent people lost their lives. We condemn all acts of violence and terrorism perpetrated by all governments and organizations against innocent civilians worldwide. Lost their lives. We condemn all acts of violence and terrorism perpetrated by all governments and organize against innocent violence and condemn the racial terrorism and detentions that are being directed against our Arab, South Asian, and Muslim brothers and sisters in this country. We condemn all acts of violence and terror perpetrated by all governments and against innocent citizens worldwide. And we condemn the racial profiling and detentions that are being directed against our Arab, South Asian, and Muslim brothers. Acts of violence and terrorism perpetrated by all governments and now the events of this past September were all governments and organizations against innocent.
When you're done, don't hoard it and collect it the way the preservationists here in the United States do it. Their comic books, different attitude. And what is it? The usual estimate is between a quarter and a third of all reading matter in Japan at this point is manga. And I'm shocked, actually, when I pick up sort of USA-based cultural text about contemporary Japanese life and seldom find any mention of manga at all. That shows you the kind of blinders that cultural comparatists have on when they spend their time looking at another culture, given the penetration of
and we condemn the racial profiling and detentions that are being directed against our Arab, South Asian, and Muslim brothers and sisters in this country.
You're called silent music. It would fade away as Hollywood embraced sound, but the legacy of the silent era was remarkable. American movies have matured into a sophisticated art form with elaborate camera moves, long takes, deep focus, expressive lighting, miniatures, etc. And in the late 20s, the most exciting experiments were taking place at the Fox Studios, where the German master, Friedrich Murnau, was given carte blanche on the strength of his European triumphs.
Follow the AP wires, you find that in the afternoon they send across tomorrow's front page of the New York Times. That's so that everybody knows what the news is.
But you know, the events of September were certainly not the first acts of terrorism to have occurred in this country. Since Columbus and the rest of the Europeans invaded our lands, Native people have been virtually non-stop victims of terrorism. I think of the slaughter of the Pequots at Mystic in Connecticut in 1637. I think of the U.S. military massacres of peaceful Native people at Wounded Knee and Sand Creek and so many, many other places.
Cemetery scene. The opening is shot. We're doing a documentary.
Yeah.
About the Blair Witch.
Oh.
Oh, have you heard of the Blair Witch?
Oh yeah, that's an old story.
Scissor, scepter, cutting, prow, scissor, scepter, cutting. Prow, scissor, scepter, cutting, prow.
WZBC. On your radio right now. I have confidence in the truth of that sentence. Whoops. Forget everything I just said. Run it backwards. Gotta launder some language. Sometimes we occasionally go in lockstep with the authorities and that has to be remedied periodically. Gotta run that cash backwards. Now I feel better. Of course, I have a reverse mode in play almost always at the same time as the regular exposition, so that it'll sound like it's on the radio. But you can reverse that at home if you've taped the show and you have special backwards engineer ability modules, which aren't that expensive. Probably one of the 4,700,000 Radio Shack outlets would have something for you. Guaranteed to be a low-end product from Taiwan, but it will work. And you'll only be paying 12.5% markup, which sits comfortably in the budget of most Americanishers. Because one must remain ever vigilant of backwards presence today if one ever hopes to create the other world, which many are working on as I was speaking. Because very little of it will happen here in the straight ahead world. Very little, just some signs and wonders translated through various filters, only one of which is the adaptability of the current model. There are various other overlay filters, but again, very little will be happening here. It's all happening somewhere else, as has been mentioned many times. That's where it is. And on this side of the filter, that's where I am. In between is this show, New Metaphysics, the Right Honorable, the Major, part of the spook community, retired involuntarily and financed as partial recompense. So I'm having fun doing my little role. Modest little platform for me. Little one lunger out of Newton, although it is a number 6 media market, however stilted it is by the cultural overlay of the New England heritage of Irish / UK media intolerance. Just your usual expression of irresponsibility to that which governs this subgroup. A little microcosmic expression of the general racial crimes America perpetrates against people of colorful color. The high note, if you will, always muted and fought against remarkably. Hard to configure that one out. But that's over here. where one must translate, 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 ever vigilant, and ever prepared, of course. ...90.3 FM, important message. ...617-552-4686. I may have gotten that incorrect. 90.3 in the radio FM. 1,000 watts coming out sideways. Like one of those incorrect births. But it's online archived. Studio475.com/new metaphysics. Just go to the page and it'll automatically do all the rest for you. Just soft focus on the page and remain in your chair. The rest will be done for you. Just remain calm. NewMetaphysics.com. You can download the same show from both sites and then listen to them almost simultaneously, which would give you a slight out-of-phase experience. I find this effect very calming, very soothing. Changes my whole outlook on life. I sometimes find myself doing things I wouldn't have done otherwise. Some secret pleasures may come my way as a result. I don't know if that's the same for you. The probability is high, however. Confidence is high.
Brow on Rematis.
And loosening Uncle Sam's tie. Single moms, cheating spouses, licking Uncle Sam's ear, stocking leg up. Oh yeah, right, Mr. Stud Muffin. She's cute, all right. Just like the little white bunny rabbit in Monty Python's movie The Holy Grail. What? The last time I had a knife stuck in front of me? On a barroom countertop? That was at Fury's, Lowell. The last barroom brawl I had to be part of, that was at JJ's, Lowell. Someone dead from a swan dive on Lynn's car. Grateful Dead's of the usual, Lowell. The last time I saw cops with billy clubs at closing time, that was at McCullough's. Lowell. Paddy wagons every weekend at the bench. Lowell. Hey, wait. Bubble gums at the Hong Kong in the summertime. Chelmsford. It's Pepsi versus Coke. McDonald's versus Burger King. Solomon's House versus Lowell House. It's Melissa at Heinz's versus Lorraine at the tavern. Last tattoo was a pair of woman's lips on my bicep. The last time I was arrested was for peeing in public, handcuffed, paddy wagon, fingerprinted. In truth, I'm getting tired of the bar scene, even the poetry bar scene. I'm preferring more and more just staying at home. Just staying at home in my comfy bed. Reading a good book.
The music you are listening to is completely electronic and has been created and produced on equipment designed and manufactured by Manhattan Research, a division of Raymond Scott Enterprises Incorporated.
Pat's recording into the image processor.
You want the new data?
Yeah, the new frequency, the one we just recorded.
Hi.
David, would you explain this to me, please?
Along with the prime, there's another signal that looks like a TV transmission.
We're hot.
All right, do me a favor, go get the blinds. It has a lot of glare.
You're patched in.
All right, it's definitely an image. Let's try and stabilize it. What do you make of that, Fish?
It's almost like they're two different interlaced frames. They're framing one.
It's just noise.
Trying frame two.
I've got an offset carrier here.
I think it's audio.
Plug it in.
Center that segment.
Centering.
Can you clean it up anymore than that fish?
I'm working on it.
Try zooming out. I freeze.
Reverse values.
Try zooming out again. Rotate 90 degrees counterclock.
Okay. What's going on?
A lot of playing with modules in my studio until we decide exactly where to take the play. And I think for an art student, and that was one of the great things about Yale, they really had a free play period. And play that isn't about what's foreseen, it's about what's unforeseen. And I think a lot of what art does is teach us to see in unforeseen ways, in new ways.
After Yale, you went to Paris?
Yeah, on Yale Traveling Fellowship.
Looking for...
When I went to Paris, I had never seen Brancusi. And so I went to Brancusi's studio almost every day and made drawings. And I happened to have arrived there at the same time as a very good composer here named Philip Glass.
Yes.
And every night after dinner, we would go into the La Cupole and watch Giacometti would come in. And we became groupies. We would sit across from him and he had, you know, plaster in his hair. And... up to that point, existentialism was something that I could understand intellectually. And even though I'd been in front of Rauschenberg and Johns and Gustin, and I understood what process art was, the idea of someone giving all to himself and then eradicating it, and giving it all to himself and eradicating every day, the stance that Giacometti had taken at that point in his life, and he was probably very old, was empowering. I think in a strange way, what's happened in this country right now, I think once again we're in an existential moment. I think because of the recent terrorism, it's put people very much in the moment and very much about resolutions in the moment and very much about thought in the moment and not about foreseeing what the outcome's going to be, but really living in the moment. Resolutions in the moment and very much about thought in the moment and not about foreseeing what the outcome's going to be, but really living in the moment. And I think the Parisians, you know, because of the invasion in France, certainly Picasso and Giacometti had understood that. And Sartre saw in Giacometti's work that kind of existential angst and that believability in creating something in the moment. So I would say at that point, Giacometti and Brancusi were very, very empowering for me. And I was an art student who was dealing in painting.
Yeah.
I hadn't started making any sculpture. So I went to Italy, and rather to make sculpture, I started experimenting in live and dead animals. I really wanted to get away from my origins. I think origins in terms of where you're born are very important, but I think academic origins can be an enormous constraint. So I really started to be very, very playful, started to really stuff animals and deal with live animals. And I had a show in Rome of live and stuffed animals when I was in my late 20s. And they closed it down. They said, Ignoble, Bruta. And then they opened it up again. And a year later, there was a whole movement that kind of came about in Italy called Arte Povera, where people started using sticks and stones and rags, and a person even had a show of live horses. But it allowed the scene to regenerate. And I think the thing about art history that's interesting is art history is not predictable. It's not linear in that way. Unexpected youth will always change the course, because they'll always transgress those people who have come before, and that's why art remains vital.
before too many tomorrows go by. Already our astronauts whirl through space nearly 200 miles high. Next thing you know, an unmanned vehicle will rove the moon's surface. Then a manned vehicle will explore it in detail. After that, you'll be there, if you want to be. The Tomorrow People at Bendix are helping to make these things possible, and more in the areas of national defense, aviation, space, oceanics, automotive, and manufacturing. To search, to discover, to develop, to broaden man's knowledge of the world he lives in and the universe around him. To make reality of imagination. This is Bendix, the Tomorrow People.
What is the magic that makes one's eyes sparkle and gleam, light up the skies? The name of the game is Lightworks.
Japanese popular culture, you would think that that would be de rigueur, that they would talk about that just as they talk about television and film in Japan, but no. Very often you find they don't talk about it at all.
We're speaking with Charles Hatfield. He's a professor at Cal State Northridge in the English department and part of the burgeoning field of comic book cultural criticism. And your thesis, what was that all about?
It was about comics of the last 20 years especially. Some of it's a study of particular authors. I'll mention them in a sec. Some of it's an attempt to establish context for this kind of study, a context that's both, I guess you could say, semiotic or formalistic. That is, how do these things work? That's always been important to me.
The name of the game is Lightworks. Lightworks is the game girls play when they
couldn't get a seal of approval on Tito. It was all made. There is somebody who has actually killed somebody. And what is he doing? He's hitchhiking around. He's not in jail or anything like that.
Someday a car will stop to pick me up that I never thumbed.
So I put in just a few lines.
Yes. Fate or some mysterious force can put the finger on you or me for no good reason at all.
I think Noir hit people so hard, it's because essentially at the core of it all, they're tales of survival in a completely naked fashion.
A certain kind of hard film full of difficult emotional things and explosions of emotional drama and anxiety was popular in the sense that people went to the movies to see that kind of thing.
If you go back and look over the plots of film noir, you discover that more than a quarter of the total films have protagonists who identify themselves as war vets. And what he discovers when he comes back from the war is not a secure place in society, but rather quite the opposite.
Multiplied and magnified, the insecurity of modern man has been tragically demonstrated in the catastrophe of total war.
One sees it, in a sense, as the continuing experience of wartime trauma in a domestic situation.
In my country, I'm a Mágico, a man with a dream, a man on the rise.
It was talking about a person 52,000 years old, alive and in a body for that length of time.
think that, I hope that you feel that, you know, we dealt with that whole aspect of your life properly and with dignity.
Perceptions and the perspectives and so on are sort of transmitted down, and not to the precise detail, but the general picture is pretty much transmitted elsewhere.
Historical and cultural, that is, how are these things marketed, how are these things disseminated, how does that affect the content of the books? I established those contexts in a couple of chapters in the beginning, and then I go on to look at what we'd call examples of alternative comics. Some people would spell that in the traditional way, some people would spell it with an X, C-O-M-I-X. But alternative comics are the sort of godchildren of the underground books from 1968 to roughly 73. Alternative comics are the next generation. There are people who grew up reading those things, as well as the Marvel, DC Comics, Archie Comics, and the like.
Her bangles at Palisades Amusement Park.
Yes. Of course I miss her. It was a night like this that she wore Romance. I believe it was by Christian Dior.
In my country, I'm a Mágico, a man with a dream, a man on the rise, to take nothing and make it something. Do you have a dream, George?
Well, I would if I could get some fucking sleep.
You have a dream. And maybe you will accomplish it. But yet you failed. Why?
Because I got caught.
No, manito. You failed because you had the wrong dream. George, what do you know about cocaine?
First of all, what type of planes do you have?
They're four-passenger single-engine Cessnas.
Four passengers. So that means how many kilos can we fit in this plane?
I don't know. Probably 100, 150. Danbury wasn't a prison. It was a crime school. I went in with a bachelor of marijuana, came out with a doctorate of cocaine. And after 16 months, I was once again a free man. Well, not altogether free. The conditions of my parole were that I had to live at my parents' house and find a job.
Hello? Diego Delgado, please. Diego, George.
Boston, George.
Today, are you out?
Yeah, I'm out.
Congratulations, my brother. I've been waiting for you.
How are we doing?
Fine, Chevrolet. Everything is perfect down here. Everything is all set up.
Well, do we need a plane? How does this work? When do I see you?
Slow down, Georgie. You need to come down here. Everybody meets everybody. Ooh, ha-ha. We do one for good faith. And then we talk about airplanes, okay?
Can't go anywhere, Diego.
Nice and cold.
All right, Pop. One minute. I'm on fucking parole. I can't leave the state.
But, George, you'll be back before they know you're gone.
I just got released 5 minutes
George,
ago. I don't...
Are we gonna do this or not?
What's going on?
Does anybody speak German?
I declare the games in Berlin at the celebration of the first Olympics of the new era is open.
Get me the White House.
About a person by the name of Drunvalo Melchizedek, who in a four-day workshop was putting all of this information together. So as a result of my 12 years of emotional body training, I just tuned into it and decided, yeah, there's really something to this. The other key soldier who has been alive and in a body for 52,000 years, the other main source of the information was Drunvalo himself, who comes from a level of consciousness that is way, way beyond our level. And what they're saying is really there is something going on the planet, and that's pretty obvious. But what they're saying is that the planet is about to go through the process of ascension, literally from one dimensional level to another. And it's happening right now.
The foreign news comes here to the foreign news desk. The editor is Bob Hanley. Bob, I suppose you get far more foreign news than you could possibly use in the paper.
Yes, we do. We get a great deal more than we can accommodate in a day.
And your job is to weed it out, I suppose.
This is the selection center, as it were. And when I have selected it, I pass it across the desk to one or the other of these sub-editors. It comes back to me. And on this chart, I design the page. That is page one and page two.
Fine, Bob. Thank you very much.
We're in business to make bucks, just like the big daily newspapers and just like the big radio stations, and we do quite well.
Right now, we're deeply in the process.
What are the
moving in? So, the idea of dimensions.
Does that mean that
They're right here, occupying the same space, but we're not aware of them because we're not tuned to them. And there's a couple of points I can make, I think.
Why did what?
Appearance on the planet. Some of the listeners might be familiar with a book written by Paramahansa Yogananda. It's called Autobiography of a Yogi. And in that book, there is a chapter called Babaji, the Yogi Christ of Modern India. If you read that chapter, you begin to understand that we're talking about a pretty incredible person here. If the information is true, we're talking about a person who doesn't even have to go through the normal birth process like we do, but in fact is able to manifest a body out of thin air. Now, that's a pretty good trick. And in addition, he is able to materialize anywhere on the planet, including in any dimensional level, just literally like that, by what you might say snapping his fingers. Now, it gets more interesting when yeah, it's kind of hard to say in a way, in a way that has credibility.
Interested and start designing certain products and making them. Once he saw that I had it, he was interested in, hey, can we sell a PC board and maybe make money? And I, you know, we thought maybe we'll lose our money, but hey, we can say we had a company once in our lives,
yeah.
Or the company. And then later on, he went down to a store and talked them into buying fully built computers for $500. And now this is a shock. It's almost like we're a business with no money. Not even to build the computer, so we have to borrow 30 days on the chips and pay and build them in 10 days. But so he was always hustling, and to find a part that we needed, or to come up with another idea, or hear something, talking to other engineers and getting other ideas. And just that whole inspiration that keeps everything, you know, moving towards the idea of a company. And then with the Apple II, that's really where he and Mike Markla pretty much more than anyone else worked out this whole concept of, you know, moving from technology towards a computer as a personal, use it yourself at home as a person device.
And I think of the armed assault by the FBI on a peaceful encampment at Pine Ridge in the 1970s. In fact, the very foundations of this powerful and wealthy country.
And also grew up reading things like heavy metal, reading the gradual influx of European material. So alternative comics really coalesces in the early mid-80s.
Theft of our lands and slaughter of native peoples and the kidnapping and enslavement of our African-American sisters and brothers.
With people like the Hernandez brothers, who
Levin Rocket,
right, out of Oxnard, California, work that's near and dear to me, has been for many years, and I devote a chapter in my dissertation to Gilbert Hernandez's work. I also spent some time talking about autobiographical comics, because that kind of real life genre has been the seedbed for a lot of interesting work.
There's this
in
guy,
comics.
American
Harvey Picar, American Splendor.
American Splendor, right?
Yeah, he's a sort of late underground comics figure who crosses over into the alternative comics era, self-published his work for a long time, since I believe 1976. A very interesting character who certainly writes quite a bit about himself in American Splendor.
His cancer and
right.
Very intimate.
Yeah, there's a book called Our Cancer Year that Harvey Picar and his wife, also a comic book writer, Joyce Brabner, co-authored, and Frank Stack, who's a underground comics veteran, illustrated. And that's a as much as I love comics, not many comics move me, but that was one of my goose pimple comics, Our Cancer Year, by Harvey Picar and company.
U.S.-assisted terrorism against native peoples continues to this day in all too many countries in Central and South America.
The sixth step. The magical workings of global magic, corresponding to the mystical workings out of your established personal magic, leading to the seventh step, the last, corresponding to the first, establishing your global magic, or just calling it once again, establishing your personal magic that now includes global magic. The seventh step is not to be ignored. It's not to be glossed over. It is an important step. It is the ceiling. It is the completion. It is the foundation, a new plateau, a new level, a circle completed, needs to be completed. You don't stop at the six, there I've done the math, oh yeah, except that seventh step is what cures, if you will. It is the proofing in the pudding, yes, the proofing that allows all that precedes it to be real. Establishing personal magic, we'll do it your way. Establishing a personal magic to establishing global magic. Mystical workings, magical workings. Healing and loving, loving and healing. The grace of mystery. Fourth step, most determined. Where many would think the journey ends. So beautiful, so incredible, I can't imagine that there's anything more. It can be the lock. It can be the quagmire. What will hold it in place, what will keep it the quagmire? The third step, as with any process, is what keeps the door locked, keeps it closed. Without that healing, followed by that loving, this will not unlock. And what will liberate, what will free, what will expand this? The fifth step of any process. The loving. Remember the love. It's the gold. And oh, what's that cliche? All that glitters is not gold. Well, yeah. All that's gold is not gold. It's love. Is the gold you look at you look in your alchemy. That love and the healing of your breath, of your feeling, of your impulse, of your love, that can unlock.
Architect of tyranny, to thee we will. won't cower. Soon may our land be bright with rebellion's holy light. In daring love is our might. Common people, true power.
Looking at the user interface. On the left, we have our composer monitor. The right, we've currently got our clips and our bin, and down at the bottom, the timeline. So using those three simple windows, we can mark up shots and drag them easily into the timeline. Audio is the same way. You can import from CD or from the net. And just like that, we've got a rough cut. So one of the first things I might want to do is to actually get the shots happening with the music. Right there I can see where I might want to have my first edit, so I can easily drag and put that on the beat, just like that. Now I've got a spot in my timeline here that I've marked with in and out points surrounding some music that I'd like to fill with this piece of video. Normally all I need to do is drag it in and drop it, but you can see that in this case it's too short. It doesn't actually fill the duration. I've got a special button in ExpressDV called Fit to Fill, and in one motion automatically have the machine calculate what's necessary to fill that duration on the timeline. And then we'll play it back and you'll see that it's perfectly filling the spot. That's an example of one-step technology where we've consolidated many of the most common editing tasks to a single mouse click or keyboard command. Now that button didn't appear magically by itself. I put that there. This is part of the command palette and the ability to map any key, any function to any button on the interface. If I want to take a fade effect button here and put that down here because I use it a lot, I can simply drag it and drop it just like that, and now I've got it anytime I need it. It's the same thing happens with the keyboard. If I want to be able to get to that fade effect button easily, I can say, let's put that on F8, just like that. From now on, that button does that. On effects, all we need is the effect palette. We ship with over 100 effects in ExpressDV, so I'm going to drag horizontal open in this case down to transition point. I've got the ability to customize it. with my effect editor. So using the effect editor, I could do something like add a soft edge border. Let's take some red from the track there, since that car was red, and add the width here and get myself a red edge wipe, just like that. So now that I've created my custom edge wipe, I may want to save that for future use. All I have to do is drag it into my bin, and at any time in the future, I can just drag it down to any transition, and I get the same exact red edge wipe. One of the most powerful features in Avid Express TV is the ability to stabilize a shot that would otherwise be unusable. Let's take a look at this sequence here. We've got a bit of a bounce, and we want to stabilize that shot. So what we do is apply our stabilization plugin, and you can see that we have a little region of interest here on the screen, and that's just telling the computer where to track. Now, as I play this back, the actual shot is being moved out of rack there, corresponding to the actual bump in this case. But the bike doesn't move at all. So that's okay, but the black edges there is a bit disconcerting. So another option would be to use auto zoom. What auto zoom does is it automatically calculates what it had to do to stabilize and rescales the frame out to full size. Now you've got a rock solid shot, just like it was done on a tripod. It might surprise you to realize that only Avid can actually record voice in sync with the picture while you're watching it into the timeline. What I've got here is the audio punch-in tool. I can choose the track I want to go into record on. And I've used in and out markers to actually mark up where I want to record. Simply take my microphone here and hit record. And while I'm watching it, NHRA, Winston Drag Racing. I've recorded straight into the timeline. You can play that back.
NHRA, Winston Drag Racing.
Now that I've recorded my voice in, I want to do a bit of mixing. So I'm going to use my automation gain tool that gives me real-time mixing while I play back. When I play that back, you'll be able to not only see the faders move, but you can also look at the actual automation gain data that I've written into the timeline. Avid Express TV software makes it easy to manage your projects and your media. For example, I may have a shot and I've forgotten where it came from. With one button press, I can find that shot anywhere on the system instantly. Another powerful media management feature is the ability to easily select my relative media to the sequence I'm working on. For instance, I select media relatives and now I see all the clips that were used in my sequence. But more importantly, I can reverse the selection, showing me all the media I didn't use in my sequence. Now, with one button, I have the option to delete these clips, making more space available on my drives. Avid Express TV makes it easy to deliver streaming video, DVD, film cut lists, as well as collaborating with other Avid systems. Creating a DVD is as simple as selecting the sequence, going to the option, and in one step, you're ready to create a DVD. Sending to the web is just as easy. All you do is select your sequence. You've got a special send to feature that'll let you send immediately to Media Cleaner. And then simply select the compression that you require.
Well, as we suggested yesterday, reminding you today, you are ready to take the next step. You are done. You have learned enough. You know what you want. You know how to get what you want, to create and manifest what you want. And you have much of that which you desire, that which you need. Sure, there is more, refinements, clarification, sharpening, honing those needs, adding to and expanding those desires, but you have enough. And your drive, your momentum, though faulty at times, is momentum enough. You are done. You have done what you came to do, if you will, in this lifetime. And you could continue. As we say, you could continue to ride, and the ride is a good one. Revisiting the wondrous places, redoing, reworking, around and round. The ride is a wonderful one because you have created it that way. The maps that you have made lead to a wonderful ride. But if you're willing to go to new places, places you have never been, come on along. And you have gathered these days for exactly that. For as wondrous as the ride is and could be, as satisfying, you won't settle. As content as you can be, you won't become complacent. And so you reach. But come on along to an adventure that has never been, in pursuit of not only your great work, but the great work of the current and future age. And there is a magic there, hidden in that simple label called global magic, hidden right there in front of you. A secret, arcane, sacred magic, hidden right there in front of you in such an obvious phrase. But those who cannot see with other than their eyes or hear with other than their ears will never reveal that secret. They can carry the term, they can carry the idea, they can work their magic on global issues wondrously and beautifully and have powerful and positive impact, certainly so. But carrying this all the while, never realizing that arcane and sacred magic hidden there.